God, I offer myself to you for your use today. Please hear my prayer for your servant and your people. Show us your power over our souls, Lord. Deliver us from evil. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving your creation. Please keep us from taking your mercy and grace and love for granted. Help us to always remember our eternal life. Remind us of your two options. Take hold of me, Lord, and use me for your purposes today. Give me unction to speak your words. Please pour your spirit upon this congregation, Father. Use my preaching in your might, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, as it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in demonstration of your spirit and power. Let your will be done here today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to begin by reading from the Declaration of Independence. It's an action of the Second Continental Congress, July 4th, 1776. This was the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And they went on to explain what the problems were. And they explained why they were breaking free and setting themselves up as the sovereigns over this land. You know, the early servants of God followed where His Holy Spirit led them to go. The early servants in this country did the same thing. They declared independence. But you know, it was a year earlier that men on the Lexington Green stood at somewhere near 4:30 in the morning on what has become known as Patriots Day. It was April 19, 1775, when these men stood for what was right by God. They were churchmen under the direction of their pastor, who stood their ground and saved the lives of two of the founding fathers. 8 men were gunned down that morning. But at that time, it was the beginning, the very beginning, of what's become to be known as the Revolution. There was a man named Philip in the early church. He was a man of God who followed the lead of the Holy Spirit. He was chosen as a servant to God and the people along with 6 other men. Last week, we learned about one of those men named Stephen. He gave his life literally in service to sharing the message of God's Messiah. This week, we will get a look at Phil's start as a traveling preacher. We will also learn a little more about some others. A man named Saul, who was present and consenting to Steve's death. And then there's Simon, a magician, who thought he could buy God's power. And then we'll learn of an Ethiopian who became a believer. He was the treasurer of Queen Candace's treasury. We will also learn about the early church's baptism classes. And if you will, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the 8th chapter of Acts. You will find it on page 739 in the Pew Bible. Page 739. That's Acts chapter 8. And we will begin at verse 1. We'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 40. Acts chapter 8. And this is what we hear there. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. When they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And that's where we'll end our reading this morning. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
As the church grew, so did the persecution. And as the persecution grew, so did the church. Isn't that just like God? He used the persecution to grow the church. Maybe that's what's wrong with the church today. Maybe there's not enough persecution. Maybe we're just all so comfortable that we don't really think we have to spread the good news. Maybe we think everything's just fine and it's always going to be that way and we can just go right along like we always have. Maybe, but maybe not. The bloodlust of murderous people there in Jerusalem was excited, and this further aroused the others. And this persecution started to grow. After they saw old Steve there give up his life under the stoning, lots of people turned against the Christians. And that young man named Saul, who watched as Steve was pummeled to death with the rocks, he became a persecutor himself. Started dragging Christians out of homes and off to the courts, dragging the Christians out and having them arrested and put in jail. We know that from a little further along in Acts chapter 23 and verse 6, that Saul calls himself a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. He was from a long line of Pharisees, The Pharisees were a division of Judaism that strictly observed human traditions. They had to do it just a certain way because, after all, that was the tradition that was handed down from them. They couldn't change anything. They had to do it just so. Jesus criticized them about that. They also hung on to the words of Moses, the written law of Moses. They pretended they were superior to those who didn't follow the human traditions that were handed down. And this also Jesus criticized them for. The New Testament record reveals many occasions when Jesus had run-ins with the Pharisees. And he corrected them, oftentimes criticizing them. You know, there's still Pharisees in the churches today. There's still people that want to follow the traditions, and almost as much as to say they're not going to pay attention to the real deal, what really matters. What did Jesus say really matters? Loving God completely and loving your neighbor as yourself. They ignore that part because, after all, they got a certain way of doing things. And we better fall in line with the way they do things, right? Sort of like the King of England. He had a way of doing things. He wanted everybody to fall in line with his way of doing things. There were people in this country who decided no more. We're not going to follow what the king says. We're going to do what God says. We're going to obey God instead of man. I think in the church, the body of Christ right now, today, that's on earth, needs to break down those denominational lines and say no more what man says. No more the traditions of man. We need to follow God. We need to follow the word of God. We need to free ourselves from all of those things that are tearing down the body of Christ. You know, even through all that persecution, many came to believe his message. We're descendants, spiritually speaking. We are descendants from those very people. This guy saw he was trying to destroy the church. And there's many today that are trying to destroy the church. As a result of this shaking of the church, believers scattered to other cities and other lands, and they spread the gospel. And this caused exponential growth. They went out with the message, they shared the message, and they brought others to Christ. And this is when we hear about Phil, God's servant, called to be a deacon. He was to serve the body of Christ. And yet God converted him from a deacon to a preacher. So anytime God calls you to one office in the church, doesn't mean that you have to stay there for the rest of your life. God can raise you out of that position into another place. He was chosen to serve tables, but when that persecution in Jerusalem increased, Philip went to Samaria. He went to Samaria and he started sharing the gospel. The Samaritans were related to the Hebrews. They were cousins of sorts. They were related by blood, and the Samaritans had brought in pagan females and such and really broke down their own religious beliefs, started to worship idols. Jesus had preached there, and so did the Samaritan woman that Jesus encountered at the well. She went into town telling everybody, you got to come see this guy. You got to meet Jesus. Samaritans claimed to have descended from two of Joseph's sons, the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh. And as Philip told them about the Messiah, he was also healing people. There were many people that were delivered from evil spirits, it says. Many were set free from possessions, and they believed. And a lot of crippled and lame people were healed. That's amazing. You know, when I read in the scriptures of somebody being healed, it doesn't take three or four times for them to be told to be healed. They're healed. They're touched. They lay hands on them. They're healed. Pretty simple. And I suspect that maybe somehow we've gotten so far away from God that he's just not moving through his people like he once was. Jesus said this would happen, that healings would take place. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said there would be healings. He said there would be deliverance. He said people would come out of evil. They'd be delivered from evil. I pray that God would use his people today to do this. I pray that God would take his people and give us his spirit to such a measure that when we touch people, they're healed. I pray for that. I'd like to see that. I pray that he'd raise up an army of believers who are unashamed of Christ, willing to share his word. I pray that he'd fill his people to overflowing and empower them to do his work in this land. I believe we could turn this country around, one soul at a time. The next thing that we see in the text is the conversion of Simon, the well-known magician. He was a magician. He was a sorcerer. He was practicing evil art. The people believed he was the great power of God because he wowed them with all his magic. He astonished them with sorcery for so long that it resulted in him being held in high regard. But when the men and women of Samaria heard Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they believed and were baptized. The people of Samaria, these were unbelievers. These were not full Jews, okay? They had different gods. But here comes Philip preaching to them the one true God and Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And in Acts 8:13, we learn that Simon also believed, and when he was baptized, he stayed with Philip. And as Phil continued preaching and healing people, he became a disciple. But then a little further along in the text, we learned that his heart wasn't right. It says he believed. He believed, and there's some today. He said, all you have to do is believe. That's all you have to do, just believe. But what I see in the scripture is something a little bit different from what they preach. It's not just a mental assent to the gospel. The demons believe and they tremble, as scripture says in James. Simon, this magician, when he saw Peter and John lay hands on people and they received the Holy Ghost, he offered them money. Here's some loot. Let me buy that. I want to get that too. I want to be able to impart the Holy Spirit on people so that No. Peter as much as told him his money and him would perish in hell. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. What? Put your hand on the TV, right? Sow a seed in the kingdom, huh? No, that's not the gospel. But there's so many that are preaching that gospel today. Put your money in the plate, and you'll get what God has for you. Right? Oh, Lord help us. Peter said that he could see his heart was wrong, and he told Simon to get rid of this evil, to repent. And there's ones today that say, you don't need to repent. There's no repentance needed. You just believe, and then Jesus does the work, right? That's what they tell you. That's what people are telling me, even now, even today. I had a message on Facebook. The guy says, you know, I didn't repent whenever I believed. I said, repent! That's what Jesus said. He taught repentance. He told his disciples to preach repentance. Peter could see he was jealous, and he was still bound by his evil ways, even though he believed. I think we have a lot of unregenerate people in the church. I think we got a lot of English kings who want to rule things their way. I think we need to declare independence from those people. I think the Church of Jesus Christ needs to stand up. I think the true Church of Jesus Christ is called out of ruling their own lives, their own way, their own will, to submitting to his way and his will, doing what he wants. So then, Simon, after Peter told him, you're going to perish, you need to repent, Simon, oh, please pray for me, don't let this come on me. Then act of repentance. And whether or not he continued in that, the text here doesn't tell us. Then Peter and John returned to Jerusalem after they testified and preached the word of the Lord, and many villages of the Samaritans heard God's word. They didn't just come down there because they heard what was going on. They came down to participate. And we see this guy, Philip, the deacon who became a traveling preacher. And he keeps on. He's still doing what God told him to do. And he runs into this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, a eunuch is a man who does not have the capability or is completely void of the desire to make a family. Not at all. We're not one to be with women. And they're used to protect the harems in that region. to keep the other men away, to keep the women from going astray, and they themselves would not have any desire to do that. They usually made a eunuch, usually castrated is the word that's used, at a young age, so that that changes them hormonally, and they do not desire women. And the angel of the Lord told Philip to go south on that road that went down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is the desert, and Philip was obedient. The angel of the Lord said, go to the desert. So anyways, he runs into this guy from Ethiopia. He's a eunuch of great authority under Candace, who's the queen of the Ethiopians. The angel of the Lord tells him, run up, catch up with the guy. And when he does, he hears him reading from Isaiah. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he goes, how am I going to understand? Why not somebody explain it to me? Yeah, I'm just reading it, you know. And this guy was the treasurer. So anyway, he's sitting in his chariot. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. The Holy Spirit sends Phil over to the chariot, and he meets the eunuch. The Ethiopian was pretty wise. He said, how am I going to understand unless somebody explains it to me? And there's a lot of people that think, maybe, you know, I could just do it on my own. I don't need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't need to listen to a preacher. I can just do it myself. I'll figure it out. Maybe. Maybe not. But anyway, the eunuch asked Philip to tell him who the prophet was speaking of. And Philip began with that same scripture. And he explained Jesus. He told him the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave him the gospel right there in his chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch believed. Now we see a difference in his belief. We see something different in this Ethiopian. And the church history tells us that there was a difference. As they were going along, they came upon some water. And the eunuch says, hey, here's some water. What stops me from getting baptized? Well, why would he ask that question if Philip hadn't explained baptism to him? He wouldn't have. But Philip told him, this is an act of obedience. You step in the water. You identify with Christ. You go under the water and you come out. It's a picture of you being reborn. Now, I have to tell you, it's pretty interesting here. I don't see where Philip schedules 3 months of baptism classes. Is it traditions of the church are, well, if you want to get baptized now, we've got to teach you how to get baptized. Now, Philip said, if you believe in your heart, you may be baptized. Pretty simple. Baptism class, isn't it? Believe in your heart, and we're going to put you under the water. Okay? Simple. There was no big, long, elaborate training system to indoctrinate them into a denomination. It was, do you believe? Yes, I do. Okay, here we go, into the water. No classes, no special robes, no special time of the year, and the eunuch confessed his belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and as many, the scripture tells us in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You become the children of God by believing. Remember Simon the magician? He believed, but he was still walking in wickedness. His heart was not purged. His heart was not cleansed. He had been even baptized. But it was obvious he had not received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. And that's written in John chapter 6, verse 29. And John, in one of his letters, the third letter that John wrote, he says this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And I'm about to wrap it up, folks. After confessing his belief in Jesus, the Ethiopian commanded the chariot to stop, and he and Phil went into the water, and he got himself baptized, okay? And after they came out of the water, Philip got whisked away by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've baptized him, folks, and I never got whisked away. It didn't happen. So I can't say things are going to be exactly as the New Testament, okay? Because it didn't happen. I've baptized a number of people and a number of times over the last 15 years or so. And I haven't ever once been whisked away somewhere else by the Holy Spirit. Is that because I'm not in the will of God? I wouldn't say that. I say, because God's operating a little differently these days. Right then and there, though, he took Philip And he took them away after he came out of the water. And how did the eunuch react? He went his way rejoicing. He was one happy guy. I mean, he had the Lord and he was rejoicing. Now, church history tells us that he went back to Ethiopia and he preached the gospel. I don't remember what his name was. I might have written it. Simon. Simon Bacchus was his name, this Ethiopian eunuch. Because around 180 AD, Irenaeus of Lyons wrote that this Simon Bacchus preached the good news in his homeland. And then, in the 3rd and 4th centuries, writers such as Eusebius of Caesarea and Origen of Alexandria said the same thing. So we know that this guy took the gospel and he shared it. We also know from church history that Matthew went there to Ethiopia. And we also know that another one, I think it might have been John, I'm not sure, I don't remember now. But another one of the apostles went to Ethiopia. My guess is that the Ethiopian eunuch said, hey, it's catching on, here, come on down, give me a hand. It's my guess. That's just a guess. It's not in the Bible. I can't tell you for certain that that's how it went. I'm just guessing. Because that's how they did it. When they'd hear something was happening, they'd go there, they'd lay hands on people, impart the Holy Spirit upon them, and then it would go like wildfire. The gospel would spread. And after Philip was taken away by the Holy Spirit, he was found at Azotus, and he traveled through the region, and he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The gospel spread. The body of Christ, his church victorious, grew. Countless souls were saved because Phil was obedient. He did what God wanted him to do. And I'm going to wrap this up really quick here, okay? Phil was ordained a deacon, but God turned him into an evangelist. He was obedient to do what Almighty God wanted him to do. He went where God wanted him to go. He said what God wanted him to say. He did what God wanted him to do. And just because God ordains you to one ministry doesn't mean he won't change things up. He'll change your assignment sometimes. Sometimes it'll put you on the road. As the gospel goes forth, you're going to encounter a lot of different types of people. Some will be sold out for Christ and they'll carry the message forward. But others, they could be in it for themselves, like Simon, looking for a way to gain power or prestige or even wealth. We see a lot of people like that. A lot of these guys on TV, big megachurch ministers, if they were really doing it right, I'd have to say they'd be breaking it down and getting people to go out, spread the word, grow that way, go from house to house, building the church. The true followers of Christ recognize him as their master and they serve him, not selfish desires. Sharing the word of God brings results. It always does. God's word does not return to him void. People believe, lives are transformed, and as the message goes out from the lips of everyday folk like us, saved, souls is the result. Souls are saved. And isn't that exactly what Jesus instructs each of us to do? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Don't set up your own kingdom, ruling like the King of England. Don't be oppressive like so many want to be. Don't stick to those human traditions, but instead stick with his word. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus shows us. That's what this servant, the one that we call Philip, he shows us also. Because he was a true servant of God. And that is what this series of messages is about. Being a servant of God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We know, Lord, that you have made the way, and all we need to do is follow you. We know sometimes you take us and you use us for one purpose and then change it up and use it for another. We thank you for that. Sometimes you set us in a place, Lord, and you keep us there. And we thank you for that. We know sometimes because you ordain us to one ministry doesn't mean you won't change, but other times you just leave us there. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that as we share the gospel, we will encounter many types of people. Help us to find those that are sold out for Christ, Lord. Help us, Lord, to help them carry the message forward. Help us, Lord, to teach those that are in it for themselves to find the way, Lord, instead of gaining power and prestige and even wealth, Help us to help them find a way to let go of all those things that are holding them back from being true followers of Christ. Help us to help them recognize Him as their master and to serve Him, not selfish desires. I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen.